Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business, banking for good. Member FDIC. Now back to Orlando and Sandy on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
On this opening day, opening night of the NFL season, we will get right to Sean Salisbury, who joins us from Houston. And Sean, I know you cover baseball, and baseball opening day has always been considered something very special. Even in recent years, as now we have baseball opening days moving around, it used to always be in Cincinnati. The oldest franchise, the traditional home opener in Cincinnati, went first. But now you have games in March, games overseas, and so on. Has football's opening day, football's opening night, in your opinion, taken over from baseball as the most special opening to any major professional sports season?
Yes, Sandy, probably, even though my opening day of baseball, I want him to go back to like the 11:35 parade start thing in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
Where we have a true opening. That was best. So because college football is kind of a hat, you know, college football has, well, some games this week and then kind of opening the week, then the real opening last week. Football, we got one team, one game with two historic teams playing on a Thursday night. Absolutely. Even though it's not Sunday, it is because everybody's focused on this one game. So, yes, it is now the best opener because we know it's the opener. All the rest of them, yeah, are not real sure what the opener is. We include those first three that are not here. So,
right.
Yeah, so we know, and we got historic franchises and a rivalry game starting off the season.
Hey, Sean, heading into the season, Drew Lock and Noah Fant, they're always going to be the spotlight, right? They're the first two picks for the Broncos, but we haven't seen a ton of them because of Drew Lock's injury and also Noah Fant getting banged up early. Is it too early to evaluate this draft? Is it concerning at all? And will this be considered yet another bad draft class by the Denver Broncos?
I'm going to reserve judgment just because I would, even if they would have gone out and had, let's say, Drew and Fant, for instance, if you're the Giants and Daniel Jones, the success he had in the preseason after everybody dogged him, we're all sitting here saying, oh, got a chance to be great. It's a great pick. And I liked the pick anyway, but I'm not crowning Daniel Jones Pro Bowler superstar that the draft's a success for Dave Gettleman just yet. I got to see him in real live action when things are going on and the Giants aren't very good and you settle into a real season. So with Fant and with, I fully think he's going to be a really good player. And Drew Lock, I can't judge good or bad by preseason. So when it comes to judging the draft, normally I wouldn't even wait to this 1 year, because if I judge drafts after 1 year, there's some guys who are really good that kind of go into the tank in their second and third year. Then there's guys that just a little bit of a late bloomer in year three, all of a sudden they develop. So I think when we can, and it's a great point, a great question, but when we can answer it, and I try to tame people and say, slow down, don't be so knee-jerk, good or bad, in
right,
the preseason. Come see me when we see the development of a player. Come see me at the end of the year when we see how they've gone, and maybe even the beginning of next year. So I think they deserve a chance. We want such instant gratification. We want what Arizona's going to get in Kyler Murray's start, and you're going to have the ball in your hand every time. So even at the end of this year, we're not going to be able to judge Arizona and Kyler Murray because it's his first year, but we'll have an idea. So I'm going to reserve judgment till the end of the year to see if either one of them makes an impact.
Speaking of knee-jerk reactions, you know, in the NFL, there are only 16 games, and fan bases, not just here in Denver, but around the country, I'm sure it's the same way in Houston, they put great importance on this first game. I am always loath to attach particular importance to the first game. But in this context, for Denver, going to Oakland, the two bottom feeder teams now, everybody seems to think, in the AFC West, as opposed to the Chiefs and Chargers at the top. Is this, and I did, forgive me for phrasing it this way, a must-win situation? Because it looks, at least on the road schedule, like Denver's most winnable game.
Sandy, you don't have to apologize. I'm under, when you only have 16 of them to play, think about this. If you take care of your business in September, you get a little leeway, you get a little leeway in December when people are tired to get beat and still go 2-2 and make the playoffs. So I always laugh because they say, no, there's 15. I understand there's 15 more. And I understand I don't want to put that if we win, we're the division champs, or if we lose, our season's over. But we're grown men. We get paid money in that locker room for this to treat it. It's division. It's the Raiders. It's a rivalry. It's to prove to the world that, and your own team confidence-wise, to set the season off right. And if they, let's just say they go 3-1 in September. What happens if they struggle in the holidays but still are able to hang on, and you look back and you know what you look back on and say, remember that game in September? We opened up and took the game and we treated it like a playoff game in September. What's wrong with that? We tell our players, hey, one at a time, right? So why can't you tell your players, treat this like a playoff game one at a time? It's a double elimination playoff game. We play them twice, but you need to think must win in September. I do. You think the New England Patriots aren't thinking their opener's a must win? Of course they are, because they want to get to 12 or 13 and secure home field advantage. So to me, when you only got 16 of them, it's okay with grown men to stress that this is a must win. Doesn't mean your season's over, but just to put the importance on it, you're damn right it's a must win, and I couldn't agree more.
Great defenses always have offenses that could stay on the field, score points. Can the Broncos offense score enough points for this defense to be a good defense this year?
Well, I think there's enough individuals to make it. That's a very, very good point. And you look at the top, guys, look at the top defenses in the league last year for the most part. Then look at the top offenses and look who finished near the end of the season. Now, the Super Bowl changed, a little 4-3 change up by Bill Belichick, and it kind of confused Goff and that protection. But the truth of the matter is, for me, while defense may be the one at the end, offense is probably going to get you there. So if you can hang 30 on somebody who still hangs 27 on you, then you'll be a good team. We'll see a lot of that this year. And the Chiefs will give up 30 and hang 37 on somebody. You guys know that, 38.
Right.
So to me, you're exactly right. They do deserve a little more chance to get some Gatorade. I think if I went through my five most intriguing questions for me going into the season, will the Browns live up to the hype? Is Eli's comeback? Those things that we go, can Mahomes repeat? Is Brady going to, all those things. I think Joe Flacco and the Denver offense, do they have enough weapons to allow the Von Millers of the world to tee off where they're not on the field 70, 75 plays a game, and the offense is three and out, three and out, three and out? It can also not only just be physically wearing out, but be mentally and emotionally deflating, because what happens, and you guys know this, 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks into the season, if one part of the organization, like the defense, is playing really good football and the offense isn't pulling their weight, locker rooms can come, hey, I confess it's your fault. We keep showing up on defense. You guys can't give us 21 points. Just give us 3 touchdowns. So I think that's one of the intriguing questions. What will Joe do, and how will this offense respond? If they can, the Denver Broncos defense will make enough plays. I don't know if there's enough plays in their offense to scare people, but they do have a veteran at quarterback that understands defense.
Who's better for each team? Right now, Fangio is coach of the Broncos, Flacco is quarterback of the Broncos, or Gruden in his second year now with the Raiders, and Derek Carr going into his sixth season for the Raiders.
I think that most people may think, because of the pub and the height, that it's Gruden and Carr. I can tell you this. I talked to a guy that's really, really close in the past to the Raiders situation, and I've been a Derek Carr fan, but he told me, he said, keep an eye on Carr in December on the road, like in Kansas City, or when he gets hit a lot in the game.
Yes. He got hit a ton last year.
And tell me what you think. Tell me what your opinion of him is then. So when I hear that from somebody who up close and personal, I start to think, I wonder. So I watch it first. I would probably, one thing I know, I'm not going to get a whole lot of flash from Joe, but I am going to get consistency. With Carr, I can either get an MVP or a guy that Gruden replaces in week 5.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
Exactly.
And Antonio Brown, trust me, that ain't going to end well, because he goes 2 games with just 4 catches. There's going to be problems. If he thought he didn't like what was going on in Pittsburgh's offense, stay tuned, my friend, because this isn't as good as Pittsburgh's offense. On the other side, I don't think Vic Fangio, while a rookie head coach, I think the rookie's going to turn out like John is a micromanaging guy. I think Vic Fangio, while good at it, I think he'll defer a little bit and trust his coaches a little more. I'm going to go with the Broncos slightly in that one until the Raiders prove me wrong.
Before I let you run, real quick, the Kansas City Chiefs, apparently according to multiple Las Vegas sports books, are the favorites, however slightly, to win the Super Bowl this year over the New England Patriots. Do the odds makers have it right?
I got the reverse. I got the Patriots beating Kansas City in the AFC Championship game.
I do too.
I personally, they better get home field advantage. I'm going to tell you that. You better be playing an Arrowhead if you're going to deal with Brady in the AFC Championship game in New England. It's fashionable because I think what Pat did last year, and they got a little bit, you know, they got a little bit more exciting on defense, adding Tyrann Mathieu and bringing Frank Clark in. So they'll be a little better. The question is, can he do what he did last year? It's hard to throw 50 touchdowns 2 years in a row, but Mahomes is a great player. I still got home field advantage to the Patriots, Chiefs and the Patriots. And in the AFC Championship game, I don't pick against Brady.
I don't think any sane person does.
Smart man.
We know you got so much going on. You talked about it last week a little bit, but for those who didn't hear it, we'll give you a shot again this week, because beyond the on-air work, you're into so much stuff.
Yeah, thanks. And you can find me, you know, on the podcast, since you're listening to all your great stuff in Denver, 6 to 10 a.m., but on the podcast at sports790.com is where you can find me. And if you see fit, go on my Twitter handle at Sean Unfiltered. And check the pinned tweet. I'm doing a sock drive right now. I'm very, very about the homeless. I homed a man, I housed a man for 16 months that I picked up on the freeway in 2014, and he lived with me. So homeless is very close to my heart. I know what it's like to sleep in your truck for 2 weeks when you don't have money. So we're doing a sock drive for the homeless. We've got about 4,000 pairs in 10 days. So if you see fit, the address is on there. Love to have some new socks to help the homeless. Other than that, thank you, and you know, I love coming on, and I appreciate the platform, my man.
You're the best, Sean. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
There he goes.
Thanks, you too, Sean.
That's Sean Salisbury from SB Nation, Be In Sports, Sports Talk 790, with a morning show in Houston that pretty much directly precedes ours here in Denver. This is Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.